Hello and welcome to another episode of Shuffling Notes, where we discuss albums, artists, songs, and all things music. I'm your co-host, Prankit.
And I'm your co-host, Razi.
And today we will be discussing a band, a rock band from Chicago called Alkaline Trio, and more specifically their album Disaddiction, which came out in February 2010. So, Razi, have you ever heard of this band before, you know, listening for this episode?
So, I was going to, in between this period, I was going to mention it to you that I do have this album since we were searching for it, since it's not available on Apple Music in India.
Oh, yeah. It's a very difficult album to hunt down in India, apparently.
But I finally found it on YouTube, but so I also found it in my music library because some years ago, I had transferred all your music to my library.
And it
was there. So, so that's why I had first heard this or read this name in my library years ago, but I never got around to listening to it.
This must have been back in like the iTunes days, right? When we had the iTunes library.
Because it's Alkaline Trio, right? So that's the first, A that comes up. So it was there.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Even for me, it takes me back. I haven't heard this music for a while now. But because, you know, we were going through a lot of these sort of rock and even punk rock bands, I was like, I have to do Alkaline Trio. And I mean, Disaddiction for me is one of my sort of favorite albums from them. So I was introduced to them by, they did another album called Crimson before this. I think it was like two albums before this. And had this song called Mercy Me. And I love that song. And that's how I sort of started getting into their music. But I think at the time when I heard that song, it was like 2010 and this album had just come out. So I'd immediately jumped to their current music. And when I heard this album, like, it was one of my favorites to this day for specific reasons. And I think we'll get into it as sort of we dive into it. But it's a bit of background. So Alkaline Trio, it's three people, you know, surprise. the lineup has gone through some changes, but in this album, it's composed of Matt Skiba. I don't know how to pronounce his second name, actually. But he's guitar and lead vocals, generally. Then we've got Dan, who is a bass, and he's sort of backup vocals on some of the tracks. He is lead vocals.
He's also lead vocals.
And then we have Derek. And then we have Derek Grant, who is drums. But again, he's done vocals, I think, on at least one of the tracks in this album. But I think, you know, generally, in if you look at interviews and what the band has said about this album, they'll say like they've come up together. Like everyone has sort of equally contributed to the whole songwriting process. But they've defined this album as like a thinking man's punk, which is, I think, very interesting. And I think I'll get into it as I go, because that's also how I've kind of felt about it. But what they've said was, you know, we wanted to do something that's fun, but also interesting and lyrically something that will be fun for people to read along and hopefully understand. So there's like slightly deeper meanings, you know, when it gets to lyrics. But it's a very unique style they have. I mean, you know, punk rock generally, there's a sound to it. And oftentimes, and, you know, maybe it's incorrect, but people sometimes, you know, mistakenly think punk rock is just about, you know, trivial things, right? Heartbreak or, you know, like rebelling. But I think sometimes, you know, some bands and some lyrics, they just go beyond that. And I think this is a very good example where a lot of the songs on surface level, I think, are about those, you could say, trivial things. Mm-hmm. But the lyrics go deeper. And I think, you know, we'll dive into it as we go. But I just thought it was quite appropriate that that's how they also defined this album.
Yeah, my take on this was, it was very... it was unusual music, not because I'm not into punk rock. Well, I'm not really into punk rock, but just saying that it was this album specifically, or maybe as I read, even other people mentioned that this album was specifically smoother than other album of theirs. Like other albums are quite more sort of out there punk rock kind of feeling, but this was more.
Well, one of the things in this album is, and it could be maybe that contributes to this a smoother sound that you're saying, is that the way they approached this album is they wanted it to sound sort of more simple. And what that means is they wanted it to be something they can easily play live. So it doesn't have a lot of effects. Like there are not too many guitars being overdubbed over guitars, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like there's 10 guitar tracks playing. And I think that might contribute to that simpler sound because it sounds like how it would sound when they play live. It wouldn't necessarily be missing a lot of the instruments. Because, you know, sometimes when you have rock bands and you hear an album and they have, you know, it sounds amazing and they'll have a plethora of like instruments and they'll have multiple guitar tracks overdubbed. But when you listen to them live, it's kind of missing that because they don't have enough band members to be playing all the instruments. So I think that was one of the things they were going for. And I think maybe that's what you're hitting on a little bit.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not very well aware with their previous albums. I mean, it's just maybe something I felt
now I'll make it my mission that you become.
So I went through the album probably once or twice, and then I started looking into a little research here and there, which sort of showed that people have mixed reaction. people loved it. Some people didn't like it as much because it was unusual of their music. And
this album was a bit different from their general sound, right? So
yeah, that's exactly what people said. And so that's what this album had. I have a love hate thing for the album because there are some songs which are there on my mind, like if I'm trying to get out of a song of another song, there's a tune that I remember of specifically. Others like that. So there are a few, and so some of their songs have, or I think nearly all of them have this section in them which is so good to hook on, like it's either a guitar riff or
it's catchy.
Nearly all of them have a section which is the which you can rate as the catchiest. But it's a long album, first of all, like I must say
it is. Originally the album only had like 11 tracks. It's because we're listening to the deluxe version that it has all the extra tracks. I'm actually looking forward to diving into it track by track to see like what your reactions were to the different songs. But I guess one more thing to mention before we dive into it was initially the title of this album was going to be called Seven. I don't know why, but they were going to go with that name. But they ended up using Seven because they released the single and it was released as, you know, like when a single is released, it's almost like a separate album, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they released it under the name Seven in terms of like what that album was called. And then they also, there's a music video for one of the songs, and they used the seven as like they're wearing like shirts with that seven logo on it. So for some reason they really liked Seven, but they ended up with going with Disaddiction because I think that stuck with like the theme of what this album is. I think as we dive in
many
dive
of the songs it. So, and the theme of the songs, I agree with that.
Yeah, well, talking about the title of the album then, right? We dive into the first track, This Addiction. And, you know, I've got a bit of a quote from Matt here. So what he said was like, it's the first song on the record and the title of the new album, and new at the time, I suppose. And the song takes heroin addiction as a metaphor for love. The whole record is really personal. All three of us have been through quite a bit since our last album, and it is all expressed through this. All the songs are about the relationship we've been in, and so the record is has that constant theme. Yeah, I think, you know, I think this is probably the most, like, fast-paced song in this album. I think Alkaline Trio in general, some of the earlier songs were really fast-paced, so I think this has that sort of callback, but it's super fast. But yeah, I mean, I'd be interested into hearing what your thoughts about the song were before I dive too deep.
I mean, first of all, it starts in that, I mean, this is the song which tells you it's a punk rock band, and this mm-hmm. is a punk rock album, and then once the vocals start the song, that's when I had a different perception of the album completely. Like, I'm talking about of my first listen, and I mean, the song, the details of the song we discussed, but that's just what the music, so in the musical way, it sort of put me in the zone that it's a punk rock song. You know, there's a punk rock riff that they all play. It's the same.
Oh, immediately off the bat, it's like, yeah. Okay, you get that 2000s feel.
And then the lyrics kick in, and I think it's the voice of whoever is singing this one.
Matt,
however it's produced differently. Like, and for that's in for a lot of songs. Like, the voice has sort of not modulated but produced differently. Like, they're singing quite normally, they have a, you know, a different. Maybe an echo attached to it or something like that. But
there's a uniqueness to it.
Yes, there's another song where the sort of voice stands out, but we'll get there. About the song, what my perspective was that it's to someone while the person's also feeling sick without them. So maybe he's wanting
you're
them
getting
back,
withdrawals.
And then, you know, there's lots of interpretations that you can take in, because I think the
main one being it's like there's
the song never mentions, like, you know, that this addiction is there is all that the song mentioned, but it doesn't mention the situation of when when this addiction is happening. So you can't tell whether, you know, they're trying to get back.
As in, like, if it's like after a breakup, or if it's like
the backstory, like, is it for the girl, you know, to sort things out, or for the girl in a romantic way, or that? I mean, there are 3-4 ways that you could put it.
The song is purely just about the addiction, but there's no context to, like,
exactly
what the larger picture is, right? Is this like post breakup, or is this something else? So, I mean, I think, you know, it uses like a I think methadone and heroin, and it sort of compares the two. And I don't know enough about these two drugs to really, like, understand. But I think from this song, what I understand is that heroin hits you super hard.
Mm-hmm.
While methadone is something that you take daily and maybe gets you through the day. But it's not like that hard hit. Because I think he compares, like, you know, those other girls were like methadone. But, like, having you, I can't remember the exact words, but it was, you know, it compares heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and then it ties into that addiction metaphor of being addicted. I mean, without having the context in this song, but from the larger album, I think, to me, it just feels like when you're in a sort of a, almost like a toxic relationship,
mm-hmm.
Where you're addicted to the relationship, and it's being obsessive.
Mm-hmm.
As I think we used to call it obsessiveness, Pana. What was it? You remember, right?
Oh, yeah.
So and that's basically it. It feels like, you know, that's
special mention.
A lot of the songs are about, and specifically this one. Shout out. But yeah, it definitely, it feels like that. It's that's really what the metaphor here is, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the song is about the details of this addiction, and you know, then those metaphors, and there's good wordplay. I mean, the songs are thought out. Firstly, I feel a lot of the songs are based on real life circumstances, like actual events that they just sort of converted to a song. And
well, that is what they said, right? They're based out of their real experiences over the past couple of years.
I mean, the like all of, because it's the, as you mentioned, it's the combination of all the all three of them, like the lyrics are. So yeah, it just feels like also it's like it's a song to self as well, like, you know, you sort of agreeing to yourself that, you know, this is an addiction, and seeing things clearly, like this is bad, this is good, and this felt good, etc., like putting things clearly in your head properly. I mean, just blowing some different perspectives.
True. And the song also has a acoustic version. And interestingly, one thing I noticed was that the acoustic versions of actually all the acoustic versions that are there in the deluxe version of the album are half a note lower than their like actual the actual tracks. Like they actually tuned the guitars half a note lower. They used the same sort of open chords and all of that. Okay. And, you know, it's interesting because I think the singers, both Dan and Matt, they have like very heavy voices. And I think generally when artists, sometimes when they're singing live or they're doing sessions one after the other, they tend to sing it half a note lower so that their voices don't get tired. You know, they don't tire themselves out. Because when you're recording in a studio, you can do it in takes and you can have breaks in between. And if you listen to the acoustic versions, I don't know the context of how they were recorded, but they're sort of kind of one take recordings, right? You've got, because you've generally got a voice in the beginning, someone who's doing a countdown or like, you guys ready? You know, there's like a bit of a feel to it that it's been recorded in like an informal environment. But I just think it's interesting that they're half a note lower, all of them. But I would say this song, I probably prefer the original version just because all the music and the drums and everything, they just work so well. The acoustic version is still good, but I feel like you miss out some of that.
I think the acoustic version of this addiction is the one which was, I mean, the furthest from my expectations, because out of all the acoustic versions, this is the only one that I did not enjoy, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
I keep trying to see. I mean, No, I was just saying, like, it doesn't add anything. Like, it just feels like it's an acoustic version of a song, but it doesn't, like, add anything to it being acoustic. So it almost kind of feels like they just kind of did it for the sake of doing it.
Maybe, but, I mean, because they chose quite random tracks for acoustics, like it's not like 1, 2, 3, 4, it's just 1, 2,
fifth. It's some specific tracks.
Is there a reason for that? Do you know a reason for that?
So I would think, and I think I'll go by it as we go. So I think the reason they did the acoustic version of This Addiction is because that's the name of the album. This is the opening track, right? This is one of their main tracks, which is why I think when they were doing the acoustic versions, it was like, we've got to do This Addiction, right? That's like our main opener. But I think we'll go through it as we go through it, and maybe there's other reasons. But yeah, from This Addiction, we get to Dying, Dying, My Darling, which is actually a reference to a Misfits song, Die, Die, My Darling. Yeah. And apparently they're big fans of Misfits. But this track is actually sang by Dan, instead of Matt. And to be honest, in this album, as we'll go through, and I didn't know this beforehand, like who sang which one. I just knew they were slightly different voices, like when I initially heard the album. But the songs that I really, really, for me, that stood out were the songs that Dan sang. I mean, some of them are by Matt as well, and I think I'll point them out as we go through.
I was going to just say the same. I was going to say the same thing, but I just didn't want to.
Yeah.
Well, you know, be against Matt because, well,
all the songs. No, there's nothing against. Like, I think Matt sounds. Yeah, I mean, I've heard their previous albums as well, right? And I think Matt sounds great. I just think the songs that Dan has, like, there's an element of how the song is written, I think, as well, that connects with me quite well. And then his voice, the voices do sound very similar. They're not very different voices. They're both that heavy sounding voice. But I don't know, Dan's voice to me just stands out a bit more.
No, I could tell that this was natural. A different singer than the previous one. So, like, because... there's this song, and then the songs that Dan sang in this album, I think I can point them out because they have a, I mean, the voice has a different
And it just, I mean, for me,
it's a different element.
It just really captures it. Yeah. So yeah, I think, you know, another very interestingly and I would say beautifully written song. You know, it's interesting. So I probably should have Googled this, but if I remember correctly, it was something like, you know, Dan had a friend who like passed away and like he couldn't say goodbye to his like girlfriend or partner.
Yeah. And that
person was also a Misfits fan or something.
I saw that interview. So, yeah.
And
I mean, I read the interview and then, in detail.
Ah, well, there we go. And then there was also, some of that came from that, I suppose, when they wrote this song. But I just think it's very interesting, like the way, right, like it's very upbeat sounding. It sounds very fun and cheerful, like the melody. And if you're not listening to lyrics, but the lyrics are literally just like, you know, like before he dies, like you can keep my last breath floating in your lungs, you know, like it's almost haunting.
Also, in the interview, Dan says that, you know, he didn't have a chance to say goodbye to the woman he loved.
You really did your research.
Thank you. And then he says, like, the two of his favorite things in the world were the Misfits and eating good food with his daddy.
Mm.
And so that's what Dan mixed these two elements up. And that's why it's Dine, my darling. And I mean that
amazing.
That was this was an MTV interview, and this song sort of stood out in the first listen, like the first time I heard it, the song stood out.
Yeah,
and obviously, especially the chorus with the dine.
I had to Google what Red Letter Day means because I always heard it, but I never really. I was like, I know what it is, but apparently it's just a way to say it's a day of importance because, like, something to do with like on Roman calendars, days of importance would be in red. So a red letter day is like a day of like significance. It's just one of those things, you know, you hear it and you just kind of. It's just because for this video, I was like, actually, what does that mean? Let me Google it. But yeah, no, excellent, excellent song. And then yeah, there's an acoustic version of this as well. Any thoughts? Again, half note lower.
But I really like the acoustic version of this song. I mean, compared to the album version, the acoustic version has. I mean, it's got a very sing along vibe to it. Than the album version. So the acoustic version is more like, you know. People can give harmony in the chorus because the way he's, I don't know, he's not.
It feels like he's singing, like, yeah, it's like he's singing with the audience almost. Like, you'd expect the audience singing along if this was like a live concert.
I mean, that's
like, this is where you join in.
That's the tone of his voice or something like that. like it out that I guess this is the part to sing along, and this isn't the case with the album version. Because the album version, I think it's more of him screaming out because the music's that way. The music's electric.
Well, the music, it's very intense. You just listen to it. It's very full. While the acoustic version is, you feel like you can join in. There's room for more voices, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I think I still prefer the track version for this song. I don't know. It's probably just because to be honest, I hadn't heard the acoustic versions except for one of them when I was listening to this music. It's only when listening for this video that I heard these acoustic versions, and I thought they were great. But I just, for me, I listened to the original track so many times that it's difficult for me to be like, that's better. Right. Okay. So the next track on the album is Lead Poisoning. And I think this track, for me, this is the point in the album where the drumming really starts to get, it gets really interesting. And I think as we go to the tracks, I'll explain. But in this song particularly, there's like the way that the rhythm kind of changes like between the verses and the chorus. Mm-hmm. It just kind of stands out compared to the first few songs, where I would say maybe it's a bit more straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think with the writing in the song, there's a few things I've written down that I think stood out. But what was your sort of impression of this song?
I thought the song itself, the lyrics of it, it's like the person's consoling himself, that, that the loved one was bad enough. And this is like my defense mechanism after the breakup, or just trying to make things better for myself. That's the perspective I saw it in, that, that this is poison for me. And that's, I'm just telling myself that over and over. And I've written down, even the way he sings the lyric, which is of course the lead poisoning part. So he sings in a way that he's giving up, like, because it's lead poisoning, in that sort of tone. So I got that feeling from from just keeping a track of the lyrics itself.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I think there's different ways to take it. I don't have
much on
the
music.
Yeah,
because it's a little intense.
I would say with the music, I wonder how you took it, but for me, it really stood out. The pipes that start playing? Like, I don't know if you noticed, there are the pipes that start playing, like, I'd say, like, halfway in the second half. Okay. And to me, it's just made it sound more whimsical and upbeat, even though the lyrics are not. The pipes, to me, this really stood out whenever I've heard this track. But the way I take lead poisoning, to me, it almost sounds like a state of, like, being suicidal or like being, there's a line like, waiting for a bullet train to bring me my lead poisoning. It just feels like wake up with this lead poisoning. It's a term it's obviously not talking about actual lead poisoning, but it's talking about like a state of condition where like after this event or whatever, you're feeling so down and so depressed, and that's really what, again, lead poisoning being used as a metaphor, but you can also take it as like shooting yourself or something, right? Mm-hmm. Like lead poisoning. I just think it's an interesting choice of words, but I think overall in this track, really what stood out to me was like the drumming musically, and then the use of pipes. I thought it pulled me out a little bit from like what the rest of the songs are like, but I just thought it was an interesting use. And then from lead poisoning, we get to Dead on the Floor. Now, this is probably one of my favorite tracks, like, off this album. Like, I absolutely love this track. And, you know, like, from the intro riff that we heard in the intro of this video, and to, like, the drum beat in the main track, you know, like, that unusual rhythm. Again, they've got, it's not like a standard, simple, like, drum beat. It's, like, it's got offbeat licks, and it's just very interesting. And the chorus, the writing, the music, all of it. I this song is like one of my favorites. Like I like love every single line of this song. I can just sit there and recite it.
This like a song of, you know, when you the song is basically a feeling of the feeling that you get when the loved one is about to leave or has left. Yeah, but I mean, they're still your loved one. Like you haven't broken up or anything, but they're leaving, and they're leaving for like a while or something like that. I mean, long distance relationship, maybe.
Well, like, look, I think firstly, full disclosure, when I heard this album, like when I started really falling in love with this album, I was not in a relationship. Like and it's like you'd imagine I heard this like during, you know, a breakup or something, and I really connected. But generally I was single at the time, but I was more of like I would say at that age, I was like, you know, a hopeless romantic type of scenario that, yeah, one day. But it was, you know, I don't know, this song, I just really connected because also one thing to note is this is the first song to have like a marine reference, like a ship metaphor. And a lot of the songs have that, a metaphor, like a reference or a metaphor to like a ship or like a marine sort of situation. But yeah, like two ships in the night, we're colliding and sinking. I don't know, actually. They just have it over and over in a couple of songs. And okay. I don't know. To me, it really works. Again, like the writing, like every single line in this song, it just feels so beautifully written. Mm-hmm. That it almost feels like it doesn't belong in like a punk rock song, if that makes sense. But right. It does, like, because they make it work so well, because again, the music and everything. And you know, they've got this, the way they write is, you know, because sometimes writing can be poetic, but you feel distant because no one talks like that in real life. You know, it's poetry, like, you feel disconnected from it.
Yeah.
But I feel like Alkaline Trio do this thing where they'll write something and you feel like, okay, you know, that's beautiful, but I obviously no one talks like that. And mm-hmm. then they'll say something else, you know, like, well, the fact of the matter is both our hearts shattered way too goddamn easily. And like that use of goddamn, like it just makes it real again. It's like, okay, that is how you talk. And I don't know, just like the juxtaposition of both these things and everything. It's just my
I really like the way, you know, he sings. Well, the fact of the matter
is both are
so like that's
and if you ask me if I'd stay forever,
it's the words are interestingly put. Like you can say the same thing in a different way, but saying it in that, I don't know, in this sort of more English way, I'd say, like the fact of the matter.
And you know what? There's like a weird sarcasm in his voice sometimes, in both the singers, Matt and Dan, and even in this song, there's like the way. But I'm glad that you came, no regret and no shame, as I'm lying here dead on the floor. There's like a sarcasm to it, and you can hear it in the voice when he's singing it. It's in quite a few songs. The way they've written it is like, you know, like, I'm glad that you came, no regret and no shame, as I'm lying here dead on the floor. Like this weird sarcasm, and his voice really brings it out with the music. I just think it works so well.
True. The way he sings, like, it's the end of the verse, which is dead on the floor. So that's like
full stop.
I mean,
yeah.
Now that you're saying it, there, I mean, pointing that out, it might seem like that if you're listening to it, because he does put it in a way which can be sarcastic. I mean,
maybe I don't know if sarcasm is like the right term. Like maybe a literary person would know, but it's just it's the way he puts it, where it's like there's, it's like he's joking but he's serious, but then it's mm-hmm. also like he uses these opposites, right? Like, I got on that plane with my heart soaring, mm-hmm. but now it's falling like snow. It's just like, you know, the next line is like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, brings it down. But yeah, I just think this song, I just sit there and recite. It's so beautifully written, I think. And yeah, there is a acoustic version as well of this song. And I think there's a lying here dead on the floor. This is one of the tracks where I feel, for me, the acoustic version, because I guess because I heard it back in the day, mm-hmm. to me, I like the acoustic version even more than the main track. And I think mm-hmm. it's to do with, again, the beat, the drums and the main track are great, but this acoustic version of, like, you know, you gotta slice in the audio here. But it makes it sound, it just gives it a completely different feel. It's the same song, but it feels so different in the acoustic version.
Yeah, I mean, the acoustic version for this was, I have something. So it's like what the feeling I got out of the acoustic version was that it's a perfect analogy for the feeling one gets in such a loving but a fallout situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what I wrote down, and I think that fits the theme, which is when you love someone but then you are parting ways for the time being in a long distance or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if that works out. I mean, it follows the theme through, but it had a different, the acoustic did have a different feeling to it than the.
Right. I don't know. It just feels very, it feels even more endearing. I don't know if that's right. In a way, but it's just his voice and the drums and the acoustic guitars with that rhythm. It just, the whole thing just comes together really well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, now that you're pointing that out, and since the hook part of this song was is when he ends with the dead on the floor. So that's just sort of ringing in my head, and that's it probably is something like, not you're right, it's not sarcasm, it's something he's saying it maybe cynically.
Need a bloody English teacher in here to like tell us what it is, but it is, yeah, it is.
I mean,
you feel me,
we get it.
yeah it's not as straightforward, you know. There's a weird way, and it's there, that tone, that playful tone, yeah. I'd say, is there in a lot of the songs.
Yep.
And then we get to the American Scream, which is, play on the words, the American Dream. But so this song is probably like one of their only, like, from what I've heard anyway, their only like political songs, so to speak. It was inspired by the suicide of a United States Army soldier after he came back from Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And he read an article and then they started writing a song about it, right. Which is basically the whole story of the song.
Right.
I think, you know, originally when I heard this song, I didn't really know the context of the background. Mm-hmm. But I think to me, what really stood out, again, the drumming. Especially in the chorus, it hits hard. Like, it's going all out. It's just Derek is just really innovating, like what he can do in the song. It's not just a simple rhythm. The way he changes it up, I think it works really, really well. What were your sort of thoughts?
I you sort of answered what my question was. So my question was, is there a story behind this? And that's the story
it was like basically the soldier came back and then he went and he just shot himself.
Because I wrote down, because it feels like from a perspective of something or someone that has already happened, because the chorus says, mm-hmm. And that's where she found me. So like, and
in the cemetery.
And then that the guitar riff with that, that's like a good headbang maybe.
And the drums, man, and the drums, like it just it hits hard. Everything just comes together so well. But yeah, I think after finding out about the backstory, I think some of the lyrics make more sense, because like I've picked out like two lines here. Like, all along thought they were rooting for the home team as they're sent to the game and torn apart. Like, basically, I think, you know, it's sort of saying in a sort of a cynical way, right? Like, soldiers, they're like, yeah, we're going to fucking do this. We're going to win, and you get sent to the battlefield. And that's when reality hits you, and the reality of war, right, tears you apart. Because, like, this guy came back and killed himself. And then, you know, as we blindly clap and cheer from the sidelines, clear on a losing streak, from the sidelines, it's clear on a losing streak from the very start. Like, you know, they were sent there, but it's almost like no one wins. Like, even if you're the soldier who comes home, you didn't win, you lost, because you were there. Like, the fact of being there and having to do those things, and I'm not saying that's the absolute, you know, objective truth of reality, but I'm just saying this is the perspective I feel like the lyrics are giving, that like, you know, there's no winning in these things. You're killing people or you're getting killed. And both of them is like, when you come back, it's dire. So I just feel, you know, the lyrics hit a harder knowing the context of how that song was written. Right.
Right. Makes sense. And I mean, that question just came in my head, that because it really felt like from a perspective, and it was clearly an American scream, which could have been related to the army. So my guess was something related to the army, but it is.
There it is. Okay. But yeah, and then from the American scream, we get to Off the Map. Now, this is, again, one of my favorite tracks of this album. And interestingly, again, Dan sang this one. Beautifully written, I think. Yeah, it's beautifully written. I think, you know, on the surface, it's about sort of like a difficult, challenging relationship. You know, when you're getting into art. I mean, well, the first line, like, I needed more wine, you needed more sleep, we just fought 2 hours. So it's like, immediately, like, okay, you know the context that, like, they're in a relationship, they're fighting. But I think the way that the lyrics are written, I think, bring out so much more in this song.
It does follow a very common guitar riff, like, for the pace that the song follows from the beginning. Like, I've written down, like, it's the song... is a very different turn from the previous songs, because this is mainly just like, I don't know, it's just a rock or maybe like a, you know, mix of blues and rock, because of the guitars. And
I mean, the thing is, it's again a very like positive vibing sound, right?
Something similar like, to Dying, Dying, My Darling.
Yeah, it sounds uplifting.
Yeah.
Right, and happy.
Uplifting is the word.
But obviously the lyrics, it sounds uplifting and happy, but the guy is singing about something, you know. And you look in that chorus, you've got, I don't know if sarcasm, we're going to find out what it's called. But you've got that again, right? Like I'm so far off the map, the sun is shining. While it's raining and I'm draped in silver lining. And you got that same like juxtaposition of, right, like I'm so far off the map, the sun is shining while it's raining and I'm draped in silver lining. And the way, right, like I can roll. So it's just the whole thing, it just sounds very, I don't know what the right term is. But, and also, look, another marine reference, boat rowing.
Ah, yeah.
Anchors away.
Maybe there's a you know, like a, I don't know, background.
I think they just really jammed I don't, I mean, it could be. I just feel like in this album, they just really like, they just really dug that metaphor of using like the ocean and ships and boats, and they just kind of just went with it, you know? Because they use it a few times in maybe slightly different ways. In fact, some of them are very similar. There's another line, what's that song? Out of this kiddie pool. We'll come to it as we're doing, but it almost sounds like that line belongs in this song. So it's almost like in that writing process, they came up with like a bunch of like metaphors, mm-hmm. right? And it got distributed out. Because, you know, musically, I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of the tracks, they almost feel like they're part of another track. Like they fit in. Like if you start playing one of the songs, you can just start playing the other one and the other one, and they will just fit in into the same type of like chord progressions. And I feel like some of the writing is like that.
I don't know. This, I don't have much on the lyrics of this one because, again, the song was upbeat, so you're just mm-hmm. kind of sailing through it. But yes, I did. It, most of the song is like a catchy hook because most of the lyrics are just sort of following the same pattern, so you can make sense and just follow it through.
The chorus is
it's this upbeat sound throughout.
Yeah, upbeat, uplifting. It is there, and I think to me, like the chorus basically, you know, it just, I mean, the song, it's like, you know, when you're in that state of mind where everything is going to shit, but like mentally you're somewhere else. Yeah. You just stop giving a crap about everything and anything, right? And that, I think at that level is what the chorus to me connects. Like, I'm so far off the map, the sun is shining. Like, I'm surprised they didn't do a music video for this one because I feel like they could have done some really interesting things.
Like some
being a punk really interesting music VFX video thing. Yeah, exactly. And the next song we have is Draculina. So the intro of this song with the organs and that rock sound and like the whatever I do Wonderland. It's just, yeah, it just, and there's like this weird like echo effect and voice modulation. And it's like, that's to me, that is so much punk rock. Yeah. Oh, in the other song. Yeah, I know. I noticed it in this one, and it was like, to me, it's just so much like it brings me to that punk rock feel with like the organs and almost like Good Charlotte, you know, it's like that sort of vibe. But I'd say to me, this is one of the more like fun songs. I don't know what that means.
You know, the interestingly, because just because there's a history, I actually looked into this one fact about Alkaline Trio that any of the members related to or are or previously were part of Good Charlotte. I was just wondering. I mean,
is that
I was just wondering. No, I don't think so. That's not a thing. But I, because
okay.
I mean, because. Well, because you just said it.
How do you know that? Yeah.
Because you just said it. You know, it's got
similarities sometimes. Yeah. Even the voices sometimes. But this song specifically with like the organs and that intro, it just, to me,
the intro is very captivating.
Again, I feel like such a missed opportunity for a great music video. This song, right? But yeah, I mean, like in terms of the lyrics and stuff, I think with this song, to me, it is just, again, using everything as metaphors. But to me, it feels like it's about, you know, when a relationship starts, like maybe he pictured it or they pictured it as like being like heaven. And you know, it as things progressed, it got more toxic and negative.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it feels like that. Mm-hmm. 'Cause again, it's very sort of heavy in metaphors. But yeah, and this is the song I kind of enjoy more, like in terms of the music. And I guess that's what I mean by like the kind of just having fun.
It's, I mean, besides that, it's, I mean, the chorus is quite a catch, along with the lyrics are really just about how a bad influence this person named Jacqueline is. Like, you know, that she's a bad person, and it's, he's just in a zone where he's probably asking himself, whatever happened to Wonderland? And that's when you're also in the zone because of the sound and the way they produced that section, which I think follows through after the first verse. I mean, that's a captivating sound. That the it's
and I
clean.
Think that's what I'm getting at. It's
it's
no,
clean,
it is.
Yeah.
It very much it stands out that whatever happened to Wonderland part, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of what you were saying, like that bad influence, and I think that's what really it is. It's like there's this initial positive period or this positive, optimistic outlook, and then it gets negative. And I think that's what sort of the song captures, right?
Yeah.
But still, I mean, on point with like the theme of the album.
They're all different. I mean, they're not. They're all different. They're like all different chapters of a relationship, but not of the same relationship.
Yeah.
Right?
Different.
This is,
no, that's very true.
I mean,
they
otherwise, if it's part of the same relationship, then it's a hell of a dramatic relationship.
Yeah. Maybe that there's a way to like decipher who wrote which song in a sense of like which storylines are following the same, you know, because like for me, like something like Dead on the Floor, to me it was more like a almost like a fling romance sort of thing. It didn't last that long. Either something
summer
happened
love.
And you know it had to summer love.
Yeah.
But some of the other songs, like Lead Poisoning, are much more dire in the sense of, like, or even Off the Map. It sounds like it's a relationship that has gotten old. Draculina as well. Like it's sort of aged and didn't age well, right?
Right.
It got worse with time.
Mm-hmm.
But you need time for that. It can't be a summer love. Like Draculina can't be a summer love, I don't think. But it's an interesting point you make. That's very true.
I mean, they're all chapters. They're all different chapters, but If it's of the same, again,
you got even numbers in front of them and everything.
if it's from of the same relationship, then it's a very dramatic relationship. Otherwise, I don't think it's off. You know, off just
it can't
one,
be the same
one,
relationship.
So.
Like holy,
I mean, that's just a roller coaster.
Like,
it's not
crap.
A relationship.
That is a roller coaster relationship. But yeah, and now we get to the eighth track of the album, Eating Me Alive. And again, this is sort of very, the metaphors in this track, again, are dialed to like 100. You know, it's just like, just the opening, right? Well, I found you outside like a sunrise that melted my eyes from my skull. It's like, you know, going all the way. Like that is some sunrise you saw.
I
turned into ash before my sweet demise, the end of me was so beautiful. So it's like, you know, it's dialed to 100. He doesn't stop at like the second line or the third line, just keeps going on. At which point it doesn't feel like a metaphor, it just feels it's literal.
There's a part where he's where she said all the wrong words but the right words.
No, I think it was, so it was, I've got that line because I really like that line and I want to read the whole thing. So, well, now you're stuck in my head like a love song. I won't sing it, but that climbed to the top of the charts. How the fuck can something be so wrong and so right? All the wrong words, but all the right parts. That's the line you're talking about.
That's the line I'm talking about, I think, yeah. I mean, I found that to be a cool wordplay. Like, you know, it's the wrong words, but the right parts, because the wrong words can be like, you know, you defining anything negatively it, from the perspective of the person, it'll be a wrong thing. But also you like, so hence it's the right parts because it's factual, but it's the wrong words because it's negative for the person taking it. So I mean that's really true.
I think that's really interesting actually. Because like for me, this whole paragraph of like, now you're stuck in my head like a love song to like all the right parts, to me, like together it just felt so, such an interesting use of like how they've placed it together. Right. And again, that metaphor being dialed, right, it doesn't just stop at like, you're stuck in my head like a love song, then you climb to the top of the charts, and then something being so wrong and so right, all the wrong words but all the right parts. So it's like a song that you're listening to where like you love the song but you hate the lyrics. So again, those metaphors being dialed to 100 here. And also, like, interestingly, this is a very like synth heavy track, right? It musically, I think it stands out from the rock sound of the rest of the other tracks.
It does have a, I mean, it does. So the lyrics, as you mentioned in the beginning, that he's dialing it to 100 and he's not stopping. So those lyrics are what puts it into the punk rock category. But maybe the music,
you know,
is...
the irony is if you look at if the actual reviews, right, you were mentioning like mixed reviews, and this is one of the songs, Eating Me Alive, where reviews actually said, right, that this synth music and everything was really like it took him out of it. They didn't like the sound. They thought it was written well, but it's just the music and the melody to them, it just felt too much not like Alkaline Trio, and they just didn't connect with it. And it's almost the opposite of like the wrong words but all the right parts, because for the reviewers it was the other way around. But it's just interesting, like, you know, it is a different sounding track. And lyrically, I think, again, in terms of talking about relationship stages, I feel like this is a relationship that's again sort of gone like sour with time. Mm-hmm. You know, he says, the time has come and gone, but I'd do anything for you.
Mm-hmm.
And even the chorus of like, you know, you can sit there and tell me that I didn't try. It's like a relationship that has gotten old. And maybe like now they've broken up, and that is really like killing him, the fact that
they're not together anymore.
But I suppose you could take it.
Yeah. It's like the way I took it is that he's sad about losing his girl because of the reasons that he's listening out in the song. But he's basically sick of the whole blame game, and that's eating him alive. Like, you can put it all me, put it all on me, and what did he say? That I did try, and I did put in my best. I'd do anything for you, and you know, stuff like that. But
you can. But yeah, then you can sit there and tell me that I didn't try. I can honestly tell you that.
But then that's what eating him alive, because that's what carries forward to, and it's eating me alive.
Yeah.
I mean that's the way I took it, because he's just sick of, you know, the continuous blame game that I didn't do it, but I did do it. But you know, you got to stop saying that and not end this, because I did try.
No, that's perfect. Perfectly put, Razi. And then we get to piss and vinegar again. Sounds like a recipe for something. I'm piss and vinegar again. So yeah, I mean, you know, the title Piss and Vinegar, it's like a reference, like sort of means like being rowdy and like disagreeable and all of that. But yeah, I mean, it's an interesting song. To me, like, this one is a bit harder to decipher. Like, it feels like it's like a post-breakup type song, like being crazy about someone and being toxic, like how you go about it in a negative way, because like you're being rowdy and you're being aggressive. And there's some references in there, like in the chorus, he says, clockwork orange herbicide. I have no idea what that means.
So Clockwork Orange is a very good movie. It's I think a sequel from Shining.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. It's got Clockwork Orange is the one which has got that tricycle, that kid riding through the tricycle through the hotel.
But what does herbicide have to do with it?
Herbicide. So herbicide basically just means the substance that kills trees. But even I didn't make any sense.
Well, insects that kill herbs. Yeah.
I mean, I was hoping that you would have some more insight on the Clockwork
Orange. The closest thing I've got is there's a picture of now I can't remember. It was one of the album covers, so there was somewhere a photo, and like they, on the guitar on the amp, it said orange.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone, and I was Googling this because I really was curious, and someone else was mentioning, like, I don't know if this was like during the Vietnam War or one of the wars, they used chemicals, and I think the code name was like Clockwork Orange or something. And then the mm-hmm. herbicide thing makes a bit more sense. But to be fair, I mean, it could be anything knowing these guys. but just in general, I think the song, to me, the lyrics, it's harder to decipher. It's just an interesting song, though. I do think musically it has similarities to some of the other songs, mm-hmm. In terms of like the way the melody is and the sound is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's one of the more difficult sort of nuts to crack.
But why is it named Piss and Vinegar?
Because he's piss and vinegar again. He says it in the first line.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, what? So why piss and vinegar is my question.
It is a unique like choice of words.
So it's just a creative choice, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, like piss and vinegar is sort of a saying from even before this. Like, like I said, it sort of means just being like you know, piss and vinegar. Like you're just being rowdy. You're just being mm-hmm. like disagreeable, you're like, you know, okay. Confrontational. I don't know what the right term, probably Google it. But it's like, I'm pissed. So that's why I feel like what he's trying to say is he's being that, like, he's maybe got drunk or not, but he's being like that self again, like the self that, you know, is aggressive and hurtful and like doesn't necessarily go about the way the right, you know, go about things the right way.
Right.
Right. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the song by the music, the song puts you in the rock zone, like, right from the start.
Yeah. And, oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
I think overall, it's about losing a dear friend.
Could be. You know what it's about? It's about Clockwork Orange herbicide.
Yeah. Okay, if you say so, I mean, you're the one who researched on it.
No, that's the one. Like, guys, if you know, just let us know in comments what that means. The line is, I got a burning temptation like Clockwork Orange herbicide. I don't know what temptation has to do with any of that. I'm just very curious. Yeah, and then from Piss and Vinegar, we get to Dorothy. So, some context. So this is actually influenced by the movie Blue Velvet. Yeah, I think I've got a quote from him where he says, like, you know, it's sort of influenced by Blue Velvet, but it's a metaphor for someone and something else. And then he's like, everything on the record is stuff that definitely hits close to home for us. And we try to communicate that in the songs. Now, I just, from Wikipedia, I don't know, have you seen Blue Velvet?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, from Wikipedia, the film concerns a young college student who, returning home to visit his ill father, discovers a severed human ear in a field that leads to him uncovering a vast criminal conspiracy and entering a romantic relationship with a troubled lounge singer. So that is a lot to take in. But I haven't seen the movie. So my thoughts about this song are like, about the song, like, I don't have no context about the movie. But yeah, you go first, because since you've seen the movie and all.
Yeah, I mean, I...
Did you watch the movie because of this video? That was your research.
No, I have watched the movie like last year or something. But I couldn't really place the song, you know, like in proportion okay. to the movie. But
yeah.
But what I found out was that, I mean, after finding out that it's about their close friend, Dorothy, who mm-hmm. was close to all of them who died while they were recording their previous album. So, first of all, it felt more grounded after I got to know this. And also, it just kind of felt like they're missing her in so many things, and they mention it all in the lyrics, like that Dorothy used to do this and Dorothy was like this, and you know, those sort of comparisons that they would have wanted or wished to do, or you know, things that they miss Dorothy.
Well, how did she pass away? Is there any context to that?
That no, I did not read that one.
No. I mean, to me, like from the lyrics, for me, what I could decipher, right? So it starts off with found you out there on your doorstep, undressed to the nines, from your Sunday best, black and blue velvet dress. And the way I took it is like black and blue velvet dress, like maybe she was bruised, like hurt or damaged. And the lyrics of like, I'm coming home, you know, I hope you're waiting there. I know times have been tough on you. It's all downhill from here. And I'm racing to your doorway, Dorothy. So to me, it feels like almost like, again, like Dorothy is like suicidal or something. And like he's trying to like get to her or like save her in time almost. And, you know, again, that black and blue velvet dress to me, it referenced like her being bruised. It doesn't have to be physically, maybe emotionally, but like her individual that he's trying to get to. But yeah, it is to me one of the hardest songs to decipher. And at the 2 minutes, like 39-second mark, there's like, I don't know if you heard it, there's like a background voice of like a girl or something. Like there's a sound effect, which I thought was quite interesting.
No, I didn't pay attention to that.
Yeah, no, I only heard it because I've heard it so many times. And then I was like, wait, what is that? And you can only hear it if you're wearing headphones, so and then we get to Fine, another one of my favorites of the album. Interestingly, this is also sung by Dan, and I love this song as well. I don't know, to me the writing of this song, it really stands out. Firstly, it starts off with that guitar riff, which sounds, again, sort of fresh. It sounds even like more pop than like punk rock. But yeah, just the writing, and it's just beautiful. It has very another boat reference.
What's the boat reference? Yeah.
If I'm the captain of this boat, then all my shipmates are fools, and all the stars in the world couldn't help me steer my way out of this kiddie pool.
that's what you were mentioning.
Yeah, back so then, this song almost feels like, but like off the map, like some of the references and things.
After like a few extra listens, there's a chime sound, like, along with the beat.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that. Have you? Yeah. I mean, so I only figured that out like after a few listens. And it's like, I mean, it's very rhythmic. And first of all, the chimes feel very different from a very punk rock album. And
the music in this track in general, right, it feels like almost like more pop or something than punk rock, I'd say.
The music, the guitar in the beginning is, I mean, for me it was very outstandingly rhythmic, is what I've written down.
Nice.
And then that rhythm follows on after the first verse, and you know, then it just follows through. But that rhythmic sound and those chimes are like those musical elements that stood out, And of course, the chorus, mm-hmm. which where he's yelling out, "I'm fine, I'm
fine." Yeah, yeah. Again, you have that sarcasm, right? It's gonna yeah. hurt like hell, but like, I'm fine, but I'm fine. And then, you know, I love this part, like, it's ironic that I drink to make my insides stop hurting. It's a love that gives me heartburn. It's a song that makes my stomach turn. I just know, it's just like so well put, you know, it's not what you expect. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and I wouldn't trade my hand for all the aces in the deck. So I think it goes back to that theme of like, he's gone through hell, but again, he mm-hmm. doesn't regret it. And if you want to put a negative connotation on it, he's addicted to like misery. That's why he's saying, I'm fine. Right. Like,
yeah,
this is life. I'm fine with it. This is it, you know, but he's drawn to it.
Yeah.
To that suffering, being miserable.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all know friends who get into toxic relationships and then we ask them why they're in it.
Yeah.
That's a dead air right there. Okay. And and this song has a acoustic version as well, I guess. I'm fine. I'm fine. I think this one is also half note lower. I think the acoustic version is interesting, but to me, I prefer the main track.
I like the acoustic version of this, and since I'm introduced to the band and to this album with the deluxe version, so knowing that the acoustic versions are just like versions of the songs in a different instruments, I would have expected this song to have an acoustic. Like, it's that song to have an acoustic.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
At least
it starts off with a guitar riff, for God's sake, right? And the guitar riff is not even like a proper like distortion or something, right? So it's got to have an acoustic version.
The acoustic version is what I expected, and there was an acoustic version.
Excellent. And so, I mean, the original album ended here. So Fine was the last track on the album. But in the deluxe version, along with the acoustic versions, there's two more songs. So the first one is Kick Rocks. And this is, again, sung by Dan. But I believe Derek, the drummer, Derek, mm-hmm. he does the backing vocals in this song, interestingly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think, you know, I don't have too much to say about this song. I mean, I feel it's sort of about like time passing by or like getting older. Right, in terms of what it's lyrically talking about. But no, I'd be interested in what your take is.
I thought it's a breakup song. He's talking about all the good times they had, and when the chorus comes in, and you know, it's he never wants it to end. Like, he never wants the time to end.
Yeah, with yeah. We can drink from the hourglass. Yeah,
and
we can make time stop.
Then there's the I think it's he never wants it to end, and even though the world would still revolve around them.
Mm-hmm.
So like
mm-hmm.
that sort of gave the feeling of a breakup song, a breakup song where he's trying to, you know, convince the person that let's not, or maybe something like that. But
yeah,
I mean, yeah, musically it's very it's very punk rock, and I mean, ultimate punk rock with the name Concrete Rocks.
Yeah.
So yeah. Mm.
Yeah, interesting. True. And then we get to the last song on this album, before the acoustic versions, Those Lungs. And
Those.
And I think this song is, to me, I think it's about a long distance relationship. And I think specifically to me, and I could be like just making it up, but to me, it feels like it's about, you know, like when you're a sort of successful musician, you've got to hit the road, go on tour.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you miss your family or you miss your partner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like the song, the lyrics, like, how's it happened that I get to have you for so long, but then you're just ripped away from me as I get tossed out to the sea to fight the sharks out there and wait for a wind swell. And he's, oh, I'm kind of a sailor back in 1942. Yeah,
reference.
I want to fight the good fight, but goddamn, I'm going to miss you. So yeah, there's another marine reference. Yeah, but the way he used the reference is, I'm a sailor going into, you know, I won't be like, you know, they've gone for years and years sometimes.
I think it's just a way to put that the Dan misses his wife. When he's out.
Well, I think this one is written by, well, this one's headed by Matt. So I think he might be the lead writer on this one, Matt.
Oh, okay. Who knows? Well, I mean, the singer is missing his wife when he's on the road touring, or
the writer, yeah.
You know, as the song goes, he's looking forward to come back home and be with her.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, beyond that, I couldn't really decipher, like, you know, don't lose your tongue, don't lose your lungs. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, it could be like, wait for me, you know, mm-hmm. in a sense, is what he's trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't make out with someone else and don't die. Like, those are the two things that could happen. So, you know, it could be that, could be something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there we have it. That is the full album, guys. And, I think, you know, well, firstly, before I give my sort of more concluding thoughts, I'm curious as to, like, overall, now that we've gone through the songs, because you kind of mentioned, like, a love-hate relationship, right? So I'm curious to know, like, to you, what were the songs that you sort of connected to or were drawn to? And what were the songs that you were kind of like, why is Pumpkin making me listen to this?
Oh, you want to know both those categories?
Yeah.
So, well, I'll start with my favorites, which is Dying, Dying, My Darling. And there's Dead on the Floor is a good song, but I mean, not that I was going back to. Off the Map is something that Off the Map is very reminiscent of another song, but I can't place it. I mean, it's as I said, like the fast pace that the song is in,
mm-hmm.
like, that's followed in a lot of other songs that I have listened to.
Mm-hmm.
Probably by some similar bands, like maybe Simple Plan or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then Draculina has a good catch with the... And,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know, in Draculina, he also... has this different pitch with his voice, like, which he doesn't.
Yeah, his voice does sound different. Yeah.
I mean, in the others, his voice is heavy, while in Draculina, he sings Draculina, he's like calling out to Draculina, like letting her know, like, you're the bad influence. Like, he's making sure she hears it. And Dorothy, I liked after. I mean, I liked Dorothy's tune because it felt a little personal in the first listen as well. But when I got to know the story, it felt like, okay, I mean, you know, you can sort of, I'm empathizing with the, band itself because she was a friend of the band. I liked Fine. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Those are the songs I liked. The songs that made me think, why is Plunkett making me listen to this? Is is Lead Poisoning.
Yeah.
Well, not that I didn't want to listen to it, but then I didn't want to listen to it over and over, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Then there is Kick Rocks. Mm. And that. At some points, This Addiction, the album version, not the acoustic one. Acoustic ones, I mean, all the acoustic ones I was good to go with. I was happy to listen to them.
Interesting, yeah. So I think it's more about the punk rock sound than anything, right?
Yeah.
Rather than like the melody or the writing, it's that heavy punk rock. So I can't wait to make you dive
deeper, good Charlotte,
into the abyss of punk rock.
Good Charlotte.
We'll see. But you know, for me, like when I originally heard, to me in this album, like when I first heard it, right, there were some songs that stood out to me, and I kind of made a playlist of those songs that I just listened to over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that included Dine, Dine, My Darling, Dead on the Floor, both the main track and the acoustic versions, The American Scream, Off the Map, Eating Me Alive, and Fine. But like the standouts were Fine, because like Fine to me, it just felt like I don't even know how to put it. It's just the writing and everything, right? Sometimes you just connect with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way it was written and that sort of, I don't know, sarcastic tone he has, just really appreciated it. To me, it stood out from all the other sort of punk rock type songs out there. And Off the Map, same way, the writing and the way it's written to me stood out. Right. Dead on the Floor, especially the acoustic version, the music and the rhythm, and even the normal version, the drumming, mm-hmm. really stood out. While Dine, Dine, My Darling, I just had fun with it. It was just a song that, like, the rhythm and everything to me was like very punk rockish in terms of like it's about death, it's like gothic, but the music and everything is so uplifting, it just worked really well. It was like a sarcastic gothic song. Right. But I think overall, I really do think the writing, the way they write it, is very smart. Like you know, it's not just poetic. It's not just straightforward surface level. They do play around. They're good with words, right?
And they've connected it well with, as they mentioned, like all the songs have stories attached to them and to each one of them. So like it connects well with, to a point you can imagine their perspective or their, you know, they're putting things in this one light which you can see, and that makes sense. I mean, for example, the song Dorothy.
I mean, and it's very personal to them as well, right? I think some of the songs they've just written based on their experience as opposed to like, oh, people are going to love this. And, you know, I think when songs are written like that is when they become very relatable.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think to me, it's very interesting. I mean, Alkaline Trio there, I've listened to punk rock, a lot of different bands, but they really do stand out. And I think a lot of their other albums as well. But to me, this one particularly, it was very mixed when it came out in terms of the actual like reception of it. And maybe people, I feel like maybe they were too biased by their previous sound, because I wasn't as much. I had just heard Crimson and some of the other tracks, and this had just come out, so I started hearing this. Mm-hmm. But it was just such a fresh sound. Like all the tracks have, like most of them at least, have a very uplifting sound, while they're about the, you know, the topics are not as uplifting. But that whole combination to me just felt very whimsical. And yeah, I suppose there we have it, guys. Do you have anything else to add, Rizzy? Or
I think
ready to wrap this up.
Yeah, I think we've wrapped it up. Again, like just pointing out that I strongly feel that this is chapters of relationships.
Yeah, different relationships.
Of different relationships, but that kind of clearly is how it feels. Except the few songs which are based on different stories, such as American Scream and Dorothy. But otherwise, Draculina is clearly that, and Dead on the Floor is another one. So Dine, Dine, My Darling is another one. So it's like you can't put these songs in one relationship, but
in the same relationship.
They are about relationships.
Excellent. All right, well. Thanks for tuning in, guys, and we will see you next time with something completely, radically different.
Yep, we will. Cheers.